Watershed Voice, community-supported journalism.
Welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. It's me, Lane, bringing you everything you love about this podcast. Bring some heat, bringing some comedy, not really comedy, and just bringing some local fun stuff back for all of you. This week, gonna break down Michigan State football, some good starts for them so far on the season. Going to go into some Detroit Lions recap. Not so good of a start for the Lions. Going to talk a little bit about where I think the Lions are at. And I'm probably going to rant a little bit about Lions fans. So if you're a Lions fan and you're interested to hear what I have to say, stay tuned. And then I'm just going to talk some high school football. I'm going to do things a little bit differently going forward with high school football. And I'll explain that later. I'm going to kind of preview something and we'll go over that. Then I'm just going to close this down and then I'll come back in 2 weeks. But before I do that, again, just thank you guys for taking the time to listen to me, just a bearded dude sitting in his basement staring at a plain wall talking sports. It's always a privilege to be able to grace you guys with my voice and my shitty opinions. But more than anything, if you guys have not yet, what would help me out is if you subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to me on your favorite podcasting streaming sites. I'm on them, Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. Drop me a review. 5 stars is, of course, the goal. Anything less, please let me know how I can improve. And I'll go from there. So with that, guys, I'm going to take a quick little break here. Going to drink some water. And then we're going to talk some Michigan State football. And going to kind of lead off from there. So stay tuned, guys. Okay, I am back, as promised. Let's talk some college football. We're going to lead off with our Michigan State. Well, I should say my Michigan State Spartans. I would assume probably most of our listeners are Michigan fans. So if you're a Michigan fan, plug your ears. So Michigan State right now in the season 3-0. Big un-Michigan State-like games right now, putting up plenty of points. Open the season up 38-21. Victory at Northwestern, followed up 42-14 against Youngstown State. And then this past weekend, they traveled down to Miami, which on my predictions, I said I actually would lose to Miami. And to my pleasant surprise, they went down to Miami and stomped the Hurricanes 38-17. I'm just kind of looking at the season right now. Michigan State is offensively, Mel Tucker's transfer program, holy shit, it's working. Kenneth Walker, Wake Forest transfer, is leading the nation in total rushing yards. He's averaging 164 yards per game. He's actually getting Heisman chatter. I believe he's second right now in Heisman talks, which is absolutely incredible for Michigan State and Kenneth Walker. Defense, they're looking pretty stout. I'm still a little nervous, especially going into a deeper Big Ten play. This coming weekend, they are at home against Nebraska. 3-point favorites right now, or maybe 3.5 points. I believe it might have went up a little bit. Nebraska actually last weekend went into Norman, and they put up a fight against Oklahoma. Now that's not maybe, man, Oklahoma might be having a little more of a down year than we all anticipated. Still Oklahoma won. A lot of people are now really starting to, I'll get into that in a few minutes when we talk about Michigan. But yeah, they home against Nebraska, and then they follow up the second at home against Western Kentucky. So all signs show the 20th ranked Michigan State Spartans going undefeated in their first 5 games. I mean, Nebraska's not going to be a slouch. Scott Frost actually has them looking decent, I'd say. It's going to be very interesting for Michigan State. Peyton Thorne, Naylor, and everybody can do the big plays, the big shot plays, but it's going to be very interesting once you get into a deeper Big Ten play and you're starting to see people load the boxes up against Kenneth Walker, what kind of quarterback actually Peyton Thorne is, and how he does handling that. I think Michigan State is a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I think you're seeing the Mel Tucker effect, but I'm not going to ride any bandwagon too far yet. Like I said, Nebraska is going to be a tough one. They got Western Kentucky, and then when I come back, we'll be talking Michigan State at Rutgers, and well, Rutgers has kind of been a thorn in the side for Michigan State, so we'll break that down. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks, but like I said, Michigan State looking hot, and then going 45 miles south to the University of Michigan. Michigan also looking extremely good, opening up season 3-0 this past weekend. Beat Northern Illinois 63-10 week prior. Beat Washington night out, the maze out, 31-10. And then they open up season and shellacked Western 47-14. I think the two biggest things are for Michigan is Blake Corum and Haskins. Both of them, that is a very nasty 1-2 combo. Blake Corum's actually leading the nation in all-purpose yards right now with 194 yards per game. He actually has 7 rushing touchdowns already, too. But, I mean, you beat a team 63-10, you're going to have that. But Michigan's also kind of an interesting team, also a little interesting with McCarthy and McNamara, who's kind of going to be QB1. You would kind of hope going into Big Ten play, they would have had that figured out by now. And I believe Michigan's playing Rutgers this Saturday. And then they follow up on the road going to Wisconsin. So they'll be in Madison. So, I mean, Michigan really, in my opinion, are going to have to figure out that quarterback play pretty quick. Dare I say you're actually starting to see speed and space, which is something that we've heard about for how many years from Michigan? Defensively, Michigan looks good, led by Aiden Hutchinson, who, outside of Kayvon Thibodeau, is probably the best defensive player in the nation this season. But Michigan looks stout. Their record, this is a shout-out to Craig at Armstrong International. We were talking about it, and, man, Michigan's got a chance to run the table. If they can get through Wisconsin, that October 30th game at East Lansing and against my Sparties, that's going to be an interesting one. Very similar, though, for Michigan to, like, Michigan State. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when you load the box against them, especially with your quarterback situation not fully being figured out yet. If in my opinion, I'd probably go McNamara, but that's me. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Corum can get bottled up by some of these Big Ten players. Kind of what I alluded to talking about Michigan State, there is starting to be more talk that the Big Ten is actually the best conference in college football right now. It's kind of looking like Pac-12, with Oregon going into Ohio State, pulling off the upset, and UCLA doing well. Then UCLA loses to Fresno, and the turmoil at USC and all that. And the Big 12 is basically the top echelon of Oklahoma and Texas are now looking at the SEC. SEC doesn't look anything special. Alabama's defense is still incredible. Offensively, Bill O'Brien, yes, that Bill O'Brien, is doing a good job with Bama. So, I mean, they are who we thought they were. Georgia's tough. But, I mean, outside of that, Ole Miss, Matt Corral, he looks really good. Also one of my dark horse Heisman picks. Keep an eye on him. So the SEC, I would say, maybe is having more of a down year, but we'll see. Conference is really just starting to fire up, so we'll see kind of who survives and who goes from there. But, man, if everything keeps rolling, that October 30th date, circle it. Because I think that'll be a game day in East Lansing that one could be good. That could be one for the ages, but we'll see what happens. I'm getting way ahead of myself. We're still 4 or 5 weeks away. But we'll see. We'll go from there, guys. So with that, that's going to kind of wrap up my college football update. And in a couple weeks, I'll go over the past 2 weeks for Michigan State and Michigan, kind of talk about where they're at, where they're going, what I see, what I don't see, and we'll go from there. So, guys, I'm going to go ahead and take another water break. Then I'm going to be back. I'm going to bring some heat about the Lions, going to recap their latest loss on Monday Night Football, kind of break down my thoughts on the team, and then I'm going to break down a little bit on the fans. So I'm going to speak directly to Lion fandom. So you're not going to want to miss that. So stay tuned. All right, I quenched my thirst. I am back. I'm ready to talk some Lions football. So I'm going to kind of just go quickly through the recaps. The Lions Monday night at Lambeau lost 35-17 to the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers ended up balling out. We all kind of figured that was going to happen. Week prior, Lions home opener lost the 49ers 41-33. In the fourth quarter, they put up like 25 points within a couple minutes. Promising. Monday night, I mean, the first half, Lions were in control. They went into halftime with a lead, 17-14. I mean, the Lions looked good. Big plays. Our offensive line looks to be every bit as good as advertised, if not better. Penei Sewell is starting to look like a generational-type talent. At left tackle. Quintez Cephas, I think, is undoubtedly our wide receiver one going forward. He looks the part. He can run his routes. He's quick, and he's aggressive. And, I mean, when Quintez was first drafted by Lions, Jordan and I even said that that's a good pickup. And I think we're starting to see those dividends because he's starting to settle in and get comfortable. TJ Hockenson, without a doubt, is a top three tight end in the league. I put him up with the best. I put him up with Waller, Kelsey, and guys like that. He looks great. He's definitely the primary focus for Jared Goff right now. DeAndre Swift looks good. Jamal Williams looks great. I think we have probably one of the best 1-2 combos for running backs in the league. Jared Goff, he's been okay. A lot of checkdowns, which we knew that's what was going to happen. But at the same time, like our receiving core, you can just see the talent is not as deep as it once was. And you could have Matthew Stafford here and you would be getting the same results. When you look at a team like Green Bay, who has a Davante Adams, I mean, you can see the differential. You can see it, and Goff doesn't have the confidence. And if you don't have receivers getting separation, why throw the ball downfield, unfortunately? But to the Lions fans just constantly shitting on the man, like, just stop it. Like, just stop. You knew Matthew Stafford is a once-in-a-generational type franchise player. He is, and he's now moved on. We have Jared Goff. Jared Goff has shown glimpses. He has the second highest winning percentage in the NFL over, I think, like a 5-year span, only next to Tom Brady. But also Jared Goff has had the weapons. He's had a decent line. He's had a good running game, and he's had a top-tier defense. And now you're kind of seeing a different scenario there. I think Jared Goff's confidence needs to get up, but he is a leader. Yes, he's not Matthew Stafford, but just stop shitting on the guy. Like, you knew this was a transitional year. We knew it was. We knew that this is a rebuilding franchise. That's why Dan Campbell was brought in. It is, you want somebody to build it up. Dan Campbell, if you don't watch it yet, is Ted Lasso, except rated R. Like, the language, the behavior, he is a Ted Lasso-type person on steroids. Not saying Dan Campbell's on steroids, but you see the connection I'm trying to make here. He's optimistic. He's not going to let his players hang their heads. And he's going to fight for his guys. And now you see Woodward Sports, one of their morning show guys, saying how Dan Campbell is an absolute goofball and show me one coach acts like this. You know, I'm going to say stop that, number one. You know, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, when we had Jim Caldwell, we all pissed and moaned because he wouldn't fight. It didn't look like he had any fight towards his players. He was too quiet. So then we hired Matt Patricia. I was fully on that train. I will own that. And then Matt Patricia was the smartest man in the room, and he was an absolute dickhead to his players. And we see where they got. So now you have Dan Campbell, who listens to his players, gets a staff that encourages his players, and he's a different type personality. And we piss him on about that. I mean, at some point, and I continue to ask this question with this podcast, what, as a Lions fan, do you want? We do not have the luxury to piss and moan like other franchises do. We have sucked for a long time. And now you have somebody in there, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, who are starting to change the culture. Culture takes time. And now you guys, and now the latest discussion is that, well, if you move Penei Sewell back to right tackle, and when Decker comes back and he plays left tackle, then that's a fireable offense. Like, are you shitting me? Like, so, and then the other solution is, oh, we need to trade Decker. So you finally have a top five and really is now looking maybe top three offensive line in the league. And this, mind you, is an offensive top five offensive line with Matt Nelson starting at right tackle. And now you say that you need to trade Taylor Decker away to move Penei back to left to create a hole, which would in turn create a hole at right tackle, which odds are you're going to fill in the draft. That makes you're going to take a need, plug it, and then create another need. And then, like, that makes no sense to me. And then saying it's a fireable offense is idiotic. It's moronic. And it's just stupid. Like, Lions fans, quit being stupid. I understand that moving Penei Sewell to right tackle is not ideal. Moving Taylor Decker to right tackle is not an ideal situation. I get it. But saying that to fire Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell for the past, 6 months, we've been saying trust them, we believe in them, and now because they're rolling with Jared Goff and they've got a tackle dilemma on their hand that they deserve to be fired because you don't agree with it? Like, come on now. Don't start, stop, start, stop, start, stop when it's convenient for you. Stay the course. We knew this was going to be a rebuild. We knew tough decisions were going to be made. If Penei Sewell moves back to right tackle and he's a train wreck, I'm sure they're going to be the first ones to friggin' notice it. I'm sure it's not going to be the podcaster Lane who's sitting on his couch eating friggin' Doritos on a Sunday going, they should have done this. They know what they're doing. Trust the process. To quote Philly, trust the process. They no more than we do. That's all I'm going to say. Trust the process. Looking forward, though, the Lions are playing the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday. By all intents and purposes, it's probably not going to be a good game. Lamar Jackson is rushing for 100 and some odd yards a game. Our linebacking core is atrocious right now, unfortunately. Alex Anzalone does not look great in pass coverage. Jamie Collins, even Dan Campbell brought up, his effort level is not there. And actually, Jamie Collins didn't even practice today. So I wonder what's going on there. And then the media has brought up Derek Barnes. And Matt Campbell says, or excuse me, Dan Campbell says he deserves looks. And I hope you see it. I mean, this Lions team, as noted Monday night, has the most active rookies playing in the league right now. It's like 20-some rookies through special teams, offense, defense. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you want. I mean, you look at the Tigers rebuild and you say, you got to be patient. You got to be patient with the Tigers. They're getting there. And then they get A.J. Hinch. They get the right guy in there. And now look at him. A.J. Hinch should be the American League Manager of the Year, in my opinion, for what he's done with this franchise. You look at the Red Wings. Trust the Yzer plan. And that's what people are doing. And look what the Red Wings are doing. Yzerman has put how many top-tier draft picks is he getting right now? And he's getting them for nothing. And then you look at the Pistons. Trust the Troy Weaver. And we're trusting a Troy Weaver. And now we got Cade Cunningham leading the charge. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lions very well could fall flat. Jared Goff, probably not the guy. But to continually just shit on him for why are you being impatient with the Lions, but we're being patient with everybody else? That makes no sense to me. It's a rebuild. It takes time. He's been hired for 5 or 6 years. His contract is a big contract for that reason. The changes are happening. You can see players buying in. Yes, there have been some unfortunate breaks for this team. Jeff Okuda blowing his Achilles. That's horrible. That's going to be one hell of a recovery for him. That's a tough break. Ifeatu Melifonwu on Monday looked great against Davante Adams. Gave up one big play. Blew his quad up. He's going to be out for a while. Like, there are things that happen in football that we can't control. But what we as fans can control is patience. And that's what you need to give to the Detroit Lions. Be patient. That's all I got to say about the Lions this week. I'm sure I'm going to get on Twitter and the social media, and I'm going to get pissed off in 2 weeks again. And then I'll probably rant again. But for right now, guys, that's me on my soapbox. I'm going to step off. I'm going to go into some high school football. I'm going to explain how things are going to be different. I'm going to close this down for another 2 weeks. And we'll go from there. So stay tuned, guys. Whew. All right, I think I exercised some demons in that last segment. So now I'm breaking into high school football. And as I had mentioned, I'm going to be doing things a little bit differently. Excuse me. Instead of being real monotonous with just being one person, I'm going to break down high school football actually into matchups of the week. I'm going to do one a week, or one every 2 weeks, I should say. I apologize if you did like how things were. It's just right now it's crazy. It's a lot of work to get all the scores, get all the stats, and then in turn, you know, talk about them for a little while. So, like I said, I'm going to kind of do matchups of the week going forward. And my first matchup of the week is it's a doozy. And it's going to be the Centerville Bulldogs 3-1 at White Pigeon, who is undefeated. Just kind of a backstory here. White Pigeon beat Comstock on the 18th, 48-12. And it's their first time they've met since 1952. White Pigeons, I mean, they're everything that we said they were last season. They're defensively stout, and they really seem to have picked up that momentum from last season, and they're keeping rolling. Dylan Carper, it looks to really be the leader rushing-wise for this team. And it's going to be interesting to see what Centerville does going forward. And then just a little bit of a backstory on Centerville. Centerville rolled Decatur 57-0 last week. The Bulldogs held Decatur to -4 yards. -4 yards for a whole game. That's insane. It really looks like Tyler Swanwick is really leading the charge for Centerville. That's going to be a good one, guys. I mean, that one, unfortunately, when it comes to playoff time, I'm assuming both teams are going to be in it. Pigeon is one win away, basically, from locking it up. Centerville is two, which I don't see any reason why either team wouldn't make the playoffs. And it's just kind of unfortunate because these two are going to meet probably in districts and you're going to get another just barn burner or an absolute old school high school football slugfest. Personally, I think that, I mean, if there's going to be a game of the week, this is it. And I think Centerville at Pigeon, that's going to be it. That's going to be a, I don't think it's going to be a barn burner. I think it's just going to be a battle of old school defense. Special teams are going to make the difference in that game. I think White Pigeon, I'm going to take Pigeon at home. I think White Pigeon is going to make up for last season. I love the Centerville team. I love everything they have going for them. Defending state champs, but man, White Pigeon, I like what they're doing right now. And so I'm going to take White Pigeon, but we'll see, guys. We'll see. So like I said, I'm just going to do a game of the week. Real quick, real easy, and I can talk super loud about it. I apologize. If you want to hear more about it, let me know, and I can see what I can do to tweak the show. But we'll go from there. So that, guys, thank you again for listening to me ramble, rant for, you know, 20, 30 minutes of your day. I appreciate it. I think this podcast is great. If you've got a little drive to work, throw me on in the morning. Throw me on when you get home. And I appreciate it. So if you haven't yet, follow us on all of social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. Like, subscribe, share us on all of your podcast streaming sites. I really appreciate it. That only helps me out, gets a podcast out there. Only helps us grow. So with that, guys, again, thank you. Stay safe. It's cold out. I mean, I think today it's rainy and 50... feels like 54. So it went from stupid hot to end of October really freaking quick. But perfect football weather, more than anything, perfect sleeping weather. Love it this time of year. But with that, guys, thank you so much. Stay safe, take care of each other, and I will be back soon. Go Green.